The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
So we're going to spend a few weeks in the Gospel of John. One reason being we are leading up to Easter. That's only 4 weeks away. The other reason, I want to spend some time reflecting on some important truths about looking to Jesus in stressful situations. Do you think that might be helpful?
Yeah.
It has been for me, that's for sure. Following him, which is really what defines a disciple. Why are we here? So our mission, glorify God through the fulfillment of what? The Great Commission. And what's the point of the Great Commission? Make disciples. Exactly. So our title today is Looking to Jesus When You Are Tested. And looking, if you think about it, is a critical step in following. Right? Where are you looking? Where are you going? Does anybody remember? This is gonna date us, all right? But I think the room can handle this. Did anybody remember the old AAA triptychs? Yeah. I mean, do we got a picture? There they are. I don't remember these ones. These are the ones I remember. You know, the long ones and you know, you would go down to the AAA office, and you say, I need to get a triptych, and what's the question they're going to ask you? Where are you going? Yeah, well, you got to know. A map like this is only helpful if you know where you are and where you want to go. Now, that's true in life, too. Where do you want to go? Where are you looking? It's a simple question, but it's one that we don't ask often enough about life. Well, we ended last week looking at Psalm 119, the fact that God's word is a critical tool in helping us find our way. So Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's lots of illustrations in Psalm 119 about how God's word guides us. But we closed last week by considering, very appropriately, I think, how God's word is a compass for us. And if you've ever used a compass, we got a picture there. A compass is a tool that you use to point you in the direction you need to go. But again, simple question, how do you use a compass? Do you put it in your pocket? Where do you hold a compass? Yeah, you put it out here in front of you, right? And you let the compass kind of tell you where the direction. You don't tell the compass what to do. The compass is telling you where the truth is. That's true north. In our sake, we want the truth about our world, about our lives. And so you hold it out in front of you, look at it, and then you line up the dial. You know, the dial's fixed, but you move that compass, and then what do? You turn your feet in the direction where you're wanting to go, and then you start moving, and you keep your eye on the compass as you're going. Not where you think you should go, not where you feel like you should go, but where the compass, where the map says you should go. So this is a short series we're going to do for a few weeks on setting your compass. I've needed, as I've reflected over what's happened the last few months, even over the last 9 months, I have needed to recalibrate. And sometimes you have to do that in life. Things get a little wacky. You know, when you're a kid riding a bike and you crash on your bike, and you pull the bike up and the handlebars are bent and, you know, everything's just, oh, man. You know, and you get on the bike and you try and go home and you're, you know, oh, got to get this thing home. Things are just out of whack and you need to get some things straightened out and recalibrated. So you have to stop, assess where you're at. How did I get here? How did I get off track? So in these last couple months, I've spent some time revisiting some key texts in my own life. And I feel like God is using these to help me adjust the dial of my own heart and get it back to God's channel and what his plan is for me, the direction he wants me to go. Back to the direction where we were going, but to be honest, I drifted, okay? Some things got me off course, but we're getting back on track. Amen? And not as a perfect church, but as a healthy church, right? So right here in John 6, we come to three significant stories. First is the story of when Jesus feeds the 5,000 people. I mean, it's one of the few events recorded in all four Gospels. And the miracle is obvious, right? Jesus takes five barley loaves, two fish. He multiplies it to feed 5,000 people, which in reality was probably 20,000 people. It's 5,000 men, 20,000 at least in total. And that in itself is incredible. It should lead us to believe, to follow him. But John is including this story in this passage because it has a lot to say to us about following Jesus, about our ongoing discipleship, looking to him. So I want us to dive in. I want you to see our big idea. It's not about the loaves. It's not about the fish. It's about our hearts. When you're being tested, how do you respond? So here's our big idea. Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows what he is doing. This is a critical belief when you're trying to find your way, especially when life gets stressful. Okay, you have to know, is the compass working? You know? If you're out on the trail and you start questioning the compass, going, you know, maybe this thing's broken, you're in trouble. You know, you've got to trust that the compass is working. If you lose faith in that, you are lost. Let me pray. Lord, I know for myself, I feel like I've needed to recalibrate my life. Lord, all of us, in some ways, we've been bumped, we've been bruised, maybe even battered, and the bike is a little out of whack, and Lord, we want to get back on the road, we want to get recalibrated, we want to turn our dials and get our feet pointing in the direction that you have us to go, but Lord, we're going through a stressful situation. And so, Father, we're praying for clarity this morning. You'd speak through your word by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so setting our compass, finding our way. Four situations illustrated in this text today. These are really, they're like stress tests. When this belief makes a huge difference, you have to believe Jesus knows what he's doing, number one, when we face changing circumstances. All right, so how many of you find change stressful? A few people? Have you ever made plans for one thing, and then those plans get completely changed? Yes, it happened to all of us. Life is not quite how I planned it, and in some of those times, even recently, I've, you know, questioned, okay, God, do you know what you're doing? You know, do you know what you're doing? Well, look at your text in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. All right, so I just want to stop there, because after what? What is he talking about? It doesn't necessarily mean much to us. We don't know what's there, why he would do that. But remember, this story is in all four Gospels. And we get a lot of details filled in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, I think, assumes that you read those earlier books, so he doesn't have to go into all of it. But we know from Mark chapter 6, which is where this story takes place in Mark, that Jesus has sent his disciples out in pairs, two by two. to put into practice the things they had seen Jesus doing. He told them to take nothing with them, to go to those who would listen, to trust that God would meet their needs through those they ministered to. Okay, you remember that story? They were told that people should repent, which is a tough message. And then God actually used them to cast out demons, to heal many who were sick. So it was really an amazing ministry that Jesus sent them out into two by two. And the apostles, it says in Mark 6:30, they returned to Jesus, told him all that they had done and taught. It was an exciting time, but Jesus says this to them. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Okay, they had just gone out in this intense season of ministry, and Jesus says, let's get away and rest. I've definitely been there, okay? You know, I was telling somebody this morning, we've been here for over 3 years, and believe me, it's been intense. Starting a new church, having to start another new church, you know, and all that God has done, definitely exciting times, but also times when you're like, oh, just need some rest. But the other thing that's happening in this story is they had just gotten word that King Herod had senselessly, cruelly killed John the Baptist. Okay, this is Jesus' cousin, right? And John the Baptist had prepared the way for Jesus and had been preaching. And in Matthew 14 is where this story happens. In Matthew, that just happened. And it says, when Jesus heard this about John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place. Okay, that's where we're headed in this text. So this was an intense season. You know, the Jewish leaders were starting to really oppose Jesus strongly. So the theme last week was dealing with enemies. Okay, the enemies are starting to rise up in greater opposition to Jesus. His cousin, John the Baptist, gets beheaded. His disciples go out on this ministry trip, and God does powerful things. So for multiple reasons, after this, even Jesus, the Son of God, says, we need a break. We need a break. Let's get away. Jesus is saying, I need to grieve. You need some rest. Do you ever hit those points in your own life? I need to do something for myself. So you come up with a plan. All right, here's what I'm going to do. This is going to help me. But then your plans don't turn out the way you'd hoped. Your circumstances change. How do you respond? So Jesus knows what he's doing, even when we face changing circumstances. So let's get back to the text. Nobody goes to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. We got a map here. So over here on this side, this is where most of the activity is happening. Capernaum, you hear, read about these a lot, this town a lot in the Bible. And you can see number 7 is where we're headed here for the feeding of the 5,000. They get in a boat and they cross the lake to a very less populated, it's a desolate place. I don't know about these two towns over there, but it's much less populated. And you can see from the scale of miles, it's probably 7-8 miles across the lake to get away. But it doesn't turn out the way they hoped. So let's read John 6:1-5. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Okay, so they get to the other side of the lake, and why did they go there? To get away. And What did they see? Crowds. Now, they weren't in boats. What did they do? They walked around, all right, and met them on the other side. They were probably moving at a pretty good clip, but they must have gone at least 10 miles, 10 to 15 miles. They walked around the lake. They had seen Jesus do amazing miracles, and they wanted more. So here's Jesus and the disciples trying to get away, and they see this crowd. How would you respond? So Jesus turns to his disciples, and he says, can you believe it? I mean, can't these people take a hint? You know, turn the boat around. Let's go find another place to get away. Is that what Jesus says? No. No. The other Gospels tell us when Jesus saw the crowds, he actually had compassion on them. He healed their sick. He taught them many things. You know, how do you respond when circumstances change, not in the way you wanted them to go? So do you just demand your agenda? No, this is not what I planned. I'm getting what I planned. You know, and do you demand that? Or do we respond with compassion? Because honestly, what is it that changes our plans most of the time? People. People derail our plans. There are times that will test our faith, and we have to ask the question, do we really believe that Jesus knows what he's doing? So there's issues in my own life, okay, that I have to deal with. I'm selfish. I want to be in control. I want my way. I'm fickle, all right? I hear what I want to hear. I have a filter that's all about me, and I'm a superficial consumer. When I want something, I want it now, and I want it on my terms. Okay, am I the only one like this? Come on, Robert. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. This is great. So these are habits in my own life. These are issues in my own thinking that need to be broken. And how does God do that? How does God break those things down in our lives? Hard times, usually. It's a trial. It's a test. The Bible speaks very plainly about the fact that there are trials, there's tests that God allows in our lives to refine us and shape us. So in these stressful times, think about the stressful times you're going through right now, in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, with your adult kids, grandkids. How do we respond? So when we face changing circumstances, here's the conviction that will help us respond in the right way. Jesus knows what he's doing by allowing this in my life. Jesus knows what he's doing by allowing this in my life. So how would your response to your situations be impacted if you embrace that truth? Jesus knows what he's doing by allowing this to happen in my life. He knows what he's doing. Second thing, Jesus knows what he's doing when we face difficult challenges. Let's look at the next few verses. Verses 5 through 9 again. So, lifting up his eyes then, seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus says to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to what? Test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? So there it is, verse 6. Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. If Jesus does this in Philip's life, do you think Jesus is ever going to do this in our lives? He's going to ask you to do something to test you. I mean, the entire circumstance may have been all about Jesus helping his disciples to grow and trust him. Now, I'm sure everybody who was healed that day, who had crossed the lake, thought that the day was all about them. And when God touched their life and they were healed, they thought that was the whole point. And they'd probably be right. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about God's sovereignty is he can accomplish a million things all at the same time. And it's about you, and it's about you, and it's about you, and it's about you. And he's doing it all. Life is a multi-layer drama. Okay, it's not all about you, but you have a part. So I think the challenging circumstance, if you think about the one that you're facing right now, look at it through this lens of John 6, verse 6. Circle that in your Bible, John 6, 6. Put a star there. He said this to test him. God is allowing whatever's happening in your life, he's allowing it to happen to test you. God already knows what he's going to do. This is not a surprise to him. He's not up there going, oh no, what am I going to do now? He knows. But he's allowing it as a test of your faith to help you grow. He's giving you an opportunity to respond. So how will you respond to these challenges? This was a challenge. Think about it. There was a huge crowd of people. They traveled a long way. They had probably waited in long lines to get healed, to get close to Jesus. They had heard some amazing things, but now it's getting late. There's no food. They're out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, and a hungry crowd of 20,000 people, their mood can change pretty fast. This was getting to be a difficult situation. So Jesus says, what are you going to do, guys? It's a test. And the test exposes several ways that the disciples tried to deal with the challenges that are pretty close to home for me as we walk through challenges. And let's see if these are some of our go-to strategies. So ways we deal with these challenges that come. First thing, we try to get rid of the problem, all right? All the other gospels reveal this strategy. The disciples say to Jesus, Jesus says, hey, where are we going to get food? The disciples are basically, send them away so they can get their own food in some nearby villages. It's not our problem, Jesus. They chose to follow us. We didn't invite them here. We were trying to get away from them. They chose to come here, they can choose to go get something to eat. You know, not my problem. So just get rid of it. So when challenges pop up in our lives, usually our first prayer request is what? Pray that the problem will go away. Pray that this problem will be removed. I don't have to deal with it anymore. It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to cry out to him, to ask for that, as long as we are also open to the fact he may have a better plan. Are we open to that? Remember, he knows what he's doing. It may not be your problem, but Jesus knows. It's a test, and getting rid of the problem may not be the plan. Well, then we go to strategy number two. Number two, do our best to solve the problem. All right? So Philip, in our text here, he's already begun to assess and problem solve. You know, he's the accountant in the group, I think. You know, let's see, the size of this crowd, enough food to give them, just enough, not too much, would be about 200 denarii. Wow, that's about 8 months' worth of someone's wages. So should I check the money bag, Jesus? Do you want me to launch a GoFundMe campaign? Philip was solving problems. He's like, Jesus, I've got a plan. I think we can do this. Nothing wrong with solving problems. I mean, this is what we pride ourselves on in North America. I mean, this is an American thing. We love solving problems. Give us a challenge. We can do this. And sometimes that's what God wants us to do. He's given us skills. He's given us resources. He wants us to use them for him. But sometimes he has a different plan that will grow our faith, that will blow us away. I mean, I don't even think this story would have been in the Bible if they'd went out and bought bread for 20,000 people. It's just a big grocery run, okay? So, but before we get to the other strategy, let's look at number three, because this is often what we do. Number three, we live with the problem. We resign ourselves to defeat. So in the other Gospels, it says that Jesus told the disciples, you give them something to eat. And so Andrew goes out and is able to scrounge up 5 measly barley loaves and 2 dried fish. All right, this is not a meal. So think sardines and Triscuits. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about 5 big barley loaves and 2 huge fish. Triscuits and sardines. He brings it to Jesus. And can you imagine, Andrew, here's all we got. What difference is this going to make? What is this for so many people? This is not going to happen, Jesus. Can't get rid of this problem. I can't solve this problem. Yeah, this is just my life. Pretty pathetic, wouldn't you say? I faced challenges before, didn't go well. Yeah, I'd say this is just my destiny. Let him go hungry. So it's a resignation. These problems that I'm facing is just part of my life. This is my destiny. You know, this is just must be what God wants for me. I just need to live with it. Well, the problem with all of these strategies, what does it say in verse 6? Jesus already knows what he's going to do. And these difficult challenges are a test to see how will we respond. He wants to help us grow. Now, he might direct us to one of the above strategies, probably not number 3, but he wants us to start with this fourth one. And the fourth strategy is trust him with the problem. After the disciples come up with 5 Triscuits and 2 sardines, in Matthew 14, it actually says, Jesus says, bring them here to me. Andrew presents them, he says, bring them here to me. Jesus doesn't expect us to do a miracle. When difficult challenges come into our lives, like starting the church all over again, your first reaction should be, maybe this is a test. God knows what he's doing. He's in control. God wants me to grow. He wants us to grow. He knows what he's doing in every circumstance of my life, in every circumstance of my children's life, in my parents' lives, my friends' life, our church life. He knows. He knows. So that's when we need the next thing. Jesus knows what he's doing when we give everything to him. Starting verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Bring it to me. Jesus says, by giving Jesus what we have, giving thanks, we talked about that last week, no more dealing with our enemies, giving thanks, putting our focus on God, on his provision, on his sovereignty, rather than our circumstances. He lavishes grace upon us. He provides beyond anything we could hope for. Jesus shows us his glory. I mean, this was a crazy miracle. This beat a grocery run any day. I mean, unbelievable. God's grace and his provision can come in many packages, all right? So he can give us peace. He can give us hope. He can give us courage in the face of enemies and terrifying circumstances, he can give us faith to persevere in hard times. He can give us boldness when facing persecution. Those are all God's provisions. It's not just material things. God knows what you need. He knows what he's doing when circumstances change, when things don't turn out the way we planned. He knows what he's doing when we face these difficult circumstances. It's a test. He wants us to trust him with the problem, give everything to him. He'll provide in the way that accomplishes his purpose in our lives. But that may not always be what we've been wanting in our way. What did we sing? Your ways are higher than our own. God's ways are not our ways. So we trust you. We trust you. So finally in our text, this is what we see. Jesus knows what he's doing. Number four, even when we want the wrong things. Look at verse 14. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When we want what is not God's will for us, sometimes he ignores us, okay? He ignores our harmful requests. Okay, he's listening, but it's like, no, I'm not giving you that. That's not what's best for you. He knows what he's doing. He knows how we fit into his plans, all right? We already talked about this. I'm selfish. I see life that I'm the center of the world, okay? I see all the circumstances going on around me. I see from the perspective of my plans, not, I see how does God fit into my plan? Not so much how do I fit into God's plan, but that's not how it works. Okay, life is always about God's plans. He made the world. He holds it together. And he has a plan. The question is always, how does my life fit into his plan? So there's times when we're asking for the wrong things that Jesus actually, kind of like the text here says, he withdraws from us, you know, until we've learned. He's wanting us to grow. We come with the heart that says, not my will be done, but yours be done. What did the people want here? King. Okay, they wanted a king. They wanted to be free from Rome. They had convinced themselves this was the job of the Messiah. And when they see Jesus feed 5,000 people with 20,000 people with five little loaves and two fish, they're like, he's the guy. Woohoo, this is it. Make him the king. That wasn't God's plan. What did Jesus come to do? He came to die, to save us. So when they wanted to make him king, what did he have to do? He had to leave. He had to withdraw from the people. Was it because he didn't like them? It was for their good. It was for their good. Sometimes when God withdraws from us, when he doesn't give us what we're asking for in prayer, can you even embrace this? He's doing that for your good. He's not answering your prayer because he loves you. And he has something better for you. I don't mean to ask for the wrong things. Sometimes I'm just selfish. You know, I'm just seeing me. It's not always that obvious. Sometimes I think I'm asking for what I think is God's will, but he doesn't give it. Sometimes it feels like he's not listening. Sometimes it even feels like he's withdrawing from me. But he may have better plans. So it's like Jesus when he was wrestling with God's will in the garden before he was crucified. Do you remember what he said? Father, remove this cup from me. Believe me, Jesus struggles with this. I mean, when in his flesh, in his humanness, he knew where he was headed. It says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross because he knew what was ahead. But even in that moment, he was like, do I really have to do this? God, Father, remove this cup from me. All things are possible for you. But then he says this, yet not my will be done, but whose? Your will. Take it away if you can, God, but if that's not your will, then your will be done. He gave it to God, and look at the result. We have life. We have life. So at the bottom of your sermon notes, there are just some applications I want you to think about. I wrote them down because too much to write, and I want you to think about these things. What circumstances have changed in your life that are getting in the way of your agenda? It happens to all of us. Are you responding with compassion? We can go ahead and put them up there on the screen. I think I've got the questions on the next slides. Do I have them on there? The next questions? There we go. Will you respond with compassion to those people who are getting in your way, with faith that God knows, Jesus knows what he's doing? Second application here. What difficult challenges are you facing right now? How are you trying to deal with them? Trying to make the problem go away? Just trying to solve the problem? Have you resigned yourself to living with the problem? Or are you trusting God with those difficulties? Third, what do you have that you can give to Jesus and trust him to use? This is all I've got, Lord. I give it to you. You're going to need to multiply it. And then fourth, what are you asking God in prayer for right now? Okay, so you've got a list of things that you've been praying. But what are those things Jesus doesn't seem to be answering? Maybe even he seems to not be listening or withdrawing from you. I'm not saying stop praying. We need to persevere in prayer. But, you know, do I need to open my mind that maybe God has a different plan with some of these things that I'm asking for from him right now? And then finally, how will you respond in faith to those things that are happening in your life, stressful situations? Can you say, not my will, God, but yours be done? Jesus knows what he's doing. He loves you. Trust him. Okay, are you doing this? You know, you got your compass out? Is this what you're doing every day? As often as you can, you know, you put your compass in your pocket and you start running down the trail. Before you know it, you might be going a different direction. So this is how we want to live. This is how we want to walk. Look to Jesus when we're tested, right? Next week, we're going to look at the story of the storm and Jesus walking on the water. And if you have a friend who's going through some storms in life, why don't you invite them to church? I think they'll be encouraged. God's word is going to guide us in these times. Does the compass work? Absolutely it does. Trust it. Trust God's compass in your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thanks for, gosh, Lord, you just, it feels like you're moving heaven and earth to teach us lessons sometimes. And we know it's not all about us, but you're doing things in our lives to help us grow. And circumstances that we face right now might seem overwhelming. It might seem just too much for us to handle. And we just want the problems to go away. But Lord, you care too much about us. You love us too much. Sometimes even to just give us what we want. So Lord, help us to give you everything, to trust you and look to you, set our feet in the direction you're leading, and then walk by faith down that road. Thank you for
the encouragement of your word by your spirit be with each person here today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.